And now a look at mortgages. Trying to acquire a house as the nation comes out of a recession. More difficult, apparently, for Blacks and Latinos. Now, that's a part of history. It has always been harder for minorities to get mortgages in this country. But are we returning back to the past? Beth Kobliner is joining us. She's a Takeaway contributor and personal finance expert, author of Get a Financial Life. Beth, good morning.
Good morning.
Joining us there in the studio. Beth, is this a little bit of back to the future or back to the past? We're used to hearing from the 50s and 60s that if you were a minority, Black or Latino, it was harder to get a mortgage. Now, there are plenty of federal laws to say that's illegal.
Mm-hmm.
But is it happening again?
Right. Well, yes. And I have to say, when I first heard this particular statistic, I thought, let's look into the numbers. Being the financial journalist nerd data person that I am, let's just, you know, it sounds like racial discrimination, but let's pour into it. And my
job right away, I'm thinking income. I'm thinking, well, Blacks and Latinos have lower income, therefore harder to get a mortgage.
Lower income, fewer assets, less access to credit. One big issue is the wealth gap, what they call basically wealth gap, because if you look at home ownership overall, for example, young affluent white people historically perhaps were able to turn to their parents for a down payment. But if you look at African-American families in the middle of the 20th century, especially in the period after World War II, before the 1968 Fair Housing Act, Black families were basically shut out of a lot of quote-unquote good white neighborhoods because of discrimination. So they were not able to participate into those appreciating home values of many were considered great skyrocketing home prices in those neighborhoods. So those,
right. Well, that's illegal now. So what's happening now when a white family versus a Black or Latino family of similar economic means, similar assets, similar everything. They both go to a bank to get
a
loan.
So here's the interesting part. What I wanted to dig in and find out, is it the fact that their incomes, if you look at average incomes for Blacks and Hispanics, is still lower? Is that the problem? Or is it the credit gap that there is some? And the answer is that there still is definite racism. But the racism we're seeing today is different in that this is statistically significant, randomly sampled, control group studied racism.
Okay.
And what I mean
the R word is a serious word to level at banks.
It is racism.
All right.
That is, it's not Republican versus Democrat. It's all about the data. Princeton just did a study. Two Princeton scholars did this study in October. And they basically looked at racial discrimination at every stage of the home buying process, from sales to foreclosures. And they looked at Black homeowners and white homeowners with essentially the same financial statistics, the same down payment abilities, the same credit reports. And they found, this is in 100 urban areas, and they found that Blacks are much more likely to be offered subprime loans, those lousy high-rate loans, than white families. So that was one sort of quite shocking report to see, you know, right there when they did this major study. And they also saw that between 1993 and the year 2000, the share of these subprime lousy loans going to minorities increased from 2% to 18%.
So subprime loans were supposed to have fallen by the wayside after the housing collapse.
Right.
And maybe we don't have a whole lot of data going forward because we're just starting to recover now.
That's right.
But is it still harder? Like tomorrow I go to the bank, Black and Latino, a Black family, a Latino family goes to the bank. Does that disparity still exist, or do we know?
Well, what happened was the introduction of subprime loans, actually, you can argue that, wow, you know, Blacks and Latinos, how great they were able to get loans, but they were these subprime loans, which were horrible loans. So it was sort of a dual-edged sword. The introduction of them made credit more accessible. More people were able to get credit in those communities, but they were getting these really lousy loans. And so that's what that particular paper was looking into. But the sheer volume of these lousy loans that minorities were getting is now what's troublesome, and people are looking into that. The other study, real quickly, from HUD, the housing urban development looked into, is really fascinating in that they looked at 4,600 pairs That included a white person and one minority. So they're basically a couple, a white person and a minority person. And they each posed as basically home buyers. They were identical, except for their race, and they were looking to rent, but identical in terms of all financial factors. And one in five rental situations, the white person received some kind of preferential treatment over the black tester. And in one in four situations, the white person received preferential treatment in terms of over the Hispanic person. So again, this is in terms of being able to view a housing unit, to inspect the unit, to get a better deal on a rental unit. And these are very controlled tests that looked at very, very clearly delineated.
Just the data, the
just
numbers.
Just the data, just
all right,
the
well,
facts.
Beth, let me point out that we called the Mortgage Bankers Association and the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development for their comments on this story.
Right.
We have not heard back, but we're dealing with just the data. Beth Koblaner, we thank you for giving us the numbers. Beth is Takeaway Work and Personal Finance contributor. She is author of Get a Financial Life. Beth, thanks.
Thank you.
Since we're speaking about banks, I want to remind you of our earlier conversation with the New York Times' Louise Story. She told us about how in 2010, more banks in America closed, bank branches closed than opened, and they're more likely to close in poor and middle-class neighborhoods than in upper-income neighborhoods. And we want you to make a map for us. Give us a call. Let us know if there's banks that have closed or opened where you are and what kind of neighborhood you live in. 877-8-MY-TAKE.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.